What a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. The testimony of God's power working in people's lives. And sitting back there and listening to John Schwartz's family sharing their testimony. John sharing it, then his wife, and the children one after the other. My mind went to the time when Paul was in jail and the jailer was converted. It says he and all his house. Isn't that wonderful? I just started thinking about that. What happens when a father gets his life aligned with God, comes into God's order, what God can accomplish. It's a wonderful test, a wonderful testimony. I just thank God for that testimony. May God encourage you and be with you and strengthen you as you continue in your life. The time is a little far spent, so I'm going to try to condense this quite a bit. But I think in a short time I can kind of share the heart of what God laid upon my heart. As I was thinking about the baptism here, about nine people being baptized, and about John and his family, and what was happening there. With that and being converted and changing your life and so forth, man, mine went to Hebrews 6, the first verse there, where it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." That's kind of where my thoughts went about moving on into perfection, not laying again the foundation. I was just thinking back there and listening to Brother John sharing about the foundation that he had laid and what he was trying to build on. If you just notice in his testimony, as he built, it kept crumbling. I think he had too much clay in his foundation. His foundation wasn't right. So I think that's important. But once we have that foundation right, we have laid it right, we have been born again, we have Jesus Christ in our heart, and he says of repentance, moving on unto perfection. And that word perfection, you know, we look at something perfect as something that doesn't have any fault. It's just perfect. So I was kind of wondering what he meant by that, going on unto perfection. So I looked it up. If you look it up in the Greek, I forget which word number it is, but I was surprised. It kind of brought some light and clarity to what he's saying here. And it gave three words as a definition for that word perfection. It said accomplisher, finisher, and consummator. And thinking about that, I think what Paul is saying, let us go on and finish the course. See, John and his family made a start. They got the foundation laid, and it's grounded. And think, I'm pretty sure this house here, this building here, I don't know, maybe there's a 3-foot footer in here, underneath the walls here, maybe about 3 feet deep and about 18, 24 inches wide. And there's a solid concrete foundation there where they built upon that foundation. That keeps this church house stable. Keeps it from falling down. Well, that was the problem with John's foundation. There was so much clay and debris and other things mixed in, works of men, that it couldn't stand. Every time he started building, got up so high, it just crumbled. They had all kinds of problems. And so I think that's what he's saying here. These things are the principal foundations. If we get this foundation right, then we can build. We can continue. So it's important that we repent, that we have faith towards God, that we get the baptism correct. Laying on of hands was something that was very important for those, I discovered, for these Jewish people, and it had a symbolism of the resurrection of the dead. Now that's an important one. See, there were people in Paul's times that didn't believe in the resurrection. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Peter comes along. He words it this way in 1 Peter 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So our hope is based on that resurrection. So it's important that we have that intact, and that we realize that there's a day of judgment coming. There's a day of eternal judgment coming. We go to Revelation. There's different verses there that bring that out. That there will be a resurrection. So it's important that we get these principal things intact. Makes a solid foundation for us to build our Christian life on. Now, when Brother John, when he, by the grace of God, got his foundation correct, and he started building upon that foundation, what happened? His wife came along. He was converted also. His wayward sons started being converted. His children could turn around. And now they are establishing a house that's going to endure. That will go on to eternity. And then let's skip down to verse 12 of that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. There it says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And then he takes Abraham as an example of that. In verse 15 he says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." So here he's saying that we should be followers of these faithful men. And that was the heart of what I was going to share with us. It's in comparing men, faithful men, that went on into perfection. They accomplished the course of the mission that God had for them. And to compare that with some other men that didn't. Even started out good, but they didn't finish. A follower is an imitator. You imitate someone. You follow someone closely to become like him. So that's what he's saying here, I think. He said we should not be slothful. Don't be lazy. But be followers of them that through patience, that through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I would just like to encourage us all, and especially those that are going to be baptized today, that study the Word of God and become followers of those that through patience and endurance inherit the promises, and that finished their course, that went on unto perfection. Paul gives this testimony. When he came to the end of his life, he gave this testimony: "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That word course means that I'm not much of a navigator. I don't have any experience in ships. But the way I understand, they go by certain instruments, and if they want to go from this port to that port around the world, they have a certain course that they follow. And if they get off of that course, there may be shipwreck. That's what happened with Paul. Paul says that he was shipwrecked, I think, three different times. That's because they had these sails and these boats got off course. They got over onto some rocks and they had shipwreck. And so there's a certain course that they need to follow in order to get there safely. And so that gives us a little bit of an idea of what Paul's talking about. I think Paul, God had a certain course that he wanted Paul to follow. He was namely a preacher, a testifier of Jesus Christ, a preacher to the Gentiles. And Paul could say at the end of his life, he says there that I'm now about to be offered. He said, "My time is at hand." He said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." He was one of those who went on unto perfection. And he finished it. So that's my encouragement today, is that we become finishers. We become accomplishers. We consummate the plan that God has for us. and we go on into perfection. Jesus, in comparison, I'm just going to, if you're jotting down little some notes here, I would like to, you can do your own little study here. If you take the life of Daniel, study the life of Daniel and compare that with Cain. Daniel went on unto perfection. God gave Cain the opportunity, but he spurned it. Compare those two characters. Compare those two characters. And then compare Joseph with Solomon. Joseph went on unto perfection. Solomon started out good, but he got sidetracked and he made shipwreck. Solomon was not an accomplisher. He was not a finisher, but Joseph was. Compare those two. Then I have one more. Compare Joshua with Lot. Joshua, at the end of his life, he said this, "Choose you today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Compare that with Lot. Lured into Sodom. Ended up, that whole story, ended up, his wife turned to a pillar of salt. Up on that mountain, in that cave, his daughters continued with the corruption that they had learned in Sodom. Fathers, we cannot underestimate the influence that some of our decisions have on our children. So let's be finishers. Fathers, let's be finishers. Let's go on into perfection and just compare these. He says here that we should be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, Jesus was the greatest finisher of them all. I think when he hung up there on that cross, he said, "It is finished." He told his disciples one day, he said, "I don't say anything that the Father is not speaking to me." And so he's studied the life of Christ. It's worth following. Let's go to Hebrews 11. I'm just going to read here some in Hebrews 11 verse. Oh, maybe we can start at verse 32. And what shall I? He goes through and he just enumerates a lot of different characters, and it's Hebrews 11 is what we call the Hall of Fame of the Faith, Hall of Faith. And in verse 32 it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they with us should not be made perfect." I think he's talking about the perfection in Christ there. Now, this is the question. What did these people have? These people that I just read about, what was the sustaining force in their life? What kept them going? Why were they willing to be in the caves and dens and run for their lives and so forth? I think if we go to the same chapter in verse 10, it's talking about Abraham. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then let's turn over to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. See, if you would all travel over to the country of Pakistan, be very unfamiliar with you, you would not know the language, you wouldn't own a house, you wouldn't know where to live, it'd be difficult to live over there, because everything's so different. You'd be a stranger over that country. So if you would confess that you are a stranger in Pakistan, if you're a stranger there, you're actually saying, I don't belong here. This is really not my home. My home is somewhere else, because I'm a stranger here. So that's what he's saying here. That these characters in chapter 11, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth. So they were saying, we don't belong here. We have another country. There's someone else that we actually belong. It's another city whose foundation and maker is just God. That's what he's saying here. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That God is not ashamed to be called our God. We have come out and we have found this, that we are strangers in this world. And we're going for a better country. That hope was the sustaining force that kept them going. And I believe if we have our hope anchored in Jesus Christ, and we have the hope of eternal life through his resurrection, I think it's going to sustain us and enable us that we can become accomplishers. We can go on unto perfection. I just like to share this yet, then we'll close with a prayer. In Hebrews 12, okay, the next question, yeah. How can we accomplish that? How can we have the same testimony that these people had? Wherefore, in chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in our minds. If we follow this example of these characters, of these faithful men, brothers, in Hebrews 11, and we do what it says here in these three verses here, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, we can go on into perfection. We can finish our faith if we can finish our course. That we can say with Apostle Paul, when we get to the end of our life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Wherefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which God shall give to all them that love his appearing. No, let me see. Wherefore, there is laid up a crown of righteousness for me, but I'm kind of mixed up with that verse. I know it well. But anyway, it says he has a crown of righteousness prepared for Paul, not only for him, but unto all those that love his appearing. So may God bless you with that. And let's just all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, we just come to you at this time with thankfulness in our hearts. And Father, it's such a blessing to sit here and hear the testimony of these dear brothers and sisters testifying of your power, of your grace, your love, your forgiveness, and your mercy and compassion that you desire to bestow upon us when we repent and come to you and we give you our whole heart. I just pray, Father, that you would bless them in a very special way today. and that you would bless all of us as we are gathered together here, that we can go on into perfection, that we become finishers of the course that you have set before us, Lord. I just pray that for the brothers that will continue with the servers, the baptism, be with them, give them strength and courage, and may the Church of Jesus Christ continue to go forward in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Commit the day in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.